Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back. All right, let's get right to it. I've been getting a lot of reader questions, and I'm glad to do that. Reader questions of the column, of course, so I'm going to share those with you on this program today. And I've got a couple that are really good, and I'm going to start first with one from a friend of mine. He asked me this question the other day, just sitting by the pool, and he said, I just turned 50, and I want to know what I should be doing for my retirement. How should I be investing? How do I know if I'm saving enough? Are there any specific moves I should be making? Well, Andrew, I'm glad to answer those questions for you. So let's start with, first of all, acknowledging the most important part of this, and that is that you don't think you have it all figured out. In my experience, overconfidence has probably hurt or impaired more people's retirements than maybe some ignorance. So the fact that you know that you don't know is good. So let's talk about some of the things you can be thinking about for retirement. First of all, you know, there's a lot of different ways to get there to retirement. There's no one absolute way. There is no solution for everybody. So depending on your situation and the specifics, there could be a lot of different things that might be involved. So it's the classic answer, it depends. So with that said, number one, I'm a big believer of always having enough cash on hand to cover emergencies. And I know that seems kind of basic. You say, well, yeah, but what if this happens or that happens? What you've got to look at your own individual circumstances and situation and think about what can go wrong and how much cash you might have to come up with. For example, if you have a lot of property or things that are insured, think about the amount of the deductibles. Or if you have an air conditioning that is, 20 years old, there's a good chance you're going to have to replace it sometime soon. So think about the things that can go wrong. Add that stuff up, and I would strongly recommend having cash on hand. Now, the next thing that a lot of people will say to me is, well, David, that's all well and good, but if I put a good chunk of money in cash for emergencies, I'm not going to make anything. Well, agreed. You won't. Not in the current interest rate environment at the time I'm producing this show for you. However, that is the cost of keeping that money liquid. So we live in a wonderful country. Yes, we have our challenges. Low interest rates for people who have cash or savings, that's certainly one of the challenges that we face. But you don't have to bring an armed escort guard to go to the bank. Okay, so there are pluses and minuses. And that's also having your cash at a bank in the United States. You do have FDIC insurance. So these are all the things you need to keep in mind when you think about the cash you want to have on hand, but have enough cash to take care of emergencies. That's number one. Don't do anything until you have that. Number two, make sure that you are thinking about your insurance, as I mentioned that before. Well, at age 50, I'm not saying you're old, but at age 50, it's not too soon to start thinking about long-term care insurance. Now, I say that assuming that you've already got health insurance and all the other insurances you might need for your situation. At 50, you're still working. You have disability insurance. There are other insurance to take a look at, but in addition to them, if you're thinking about retirement, one of the things a lot of people look at as they move toward or into retirement is long-term care insurance. Now, I can tell you that at age 50, your insurance cost is going to be a lot less than it will be at age 65. And while you're at it, maybe think about a limited pay policy where maybe you pay premiums for 10 years, not the rest of your life. And while you're at it, one more thing, because that home health aid 20 or 30 years from now is going to cost a lot more than it will today, add an inflation rider to that long-term care policy. All right, what else do I have for you? Number three, this is a big one. Pay off any debt you have that is 5% or more, period. Well, I do have a couple caveats. Number first caveat is if you have access to a 401k or similar type of retirement plan at work and you're not already putting enough money in to soak up the employer's contingent or matching contribution, please do so. So for example, if they will match you 50 cents on the dollar up to 3%, then put in 6% to take advantage of that offer and get the 3. You've got an immediate guaranteed 50% return. Now, even do that while having some debt, because you're getting a 50% return on your money. It's very likely that that 50% return is higher than the cost of whatever your debt may be. Now, what's the second caveat? Second caveat is if you have a debt that is home related. If you've got a home, you've got a mortgage, and you are have some equity and you're in a position to refinance, then definitely think about refinancing. That's the other consideration. Otherwise, if you've got debt over five, pay that off before investing, except for the 401k exception I just gave you. Before investing in the latest, greatest investment opportunity that's been presented to you by a friend, a broker, an advisor, whomever, pay off the debt first. Now, once you've got that done, what's next? You're 50. You've got kids that are going to go to college, or you hope they will. Do you have enough money put away for college? Figure out how much you think it's going to be for each kid, multiply by the number of kids, and come up with that total. Then divide by the number of months until the oldest is going, how long before they're going to reach college age, and try to put that much away each month systematically into something that will be available, not too long of a long-term investment, but something that will be more liquid. There are lots of different ways of doing this, 529 plans, brokerage accounts, all kinds of things you can invest in, including prepaid college, college plans where you prepay your tuition. There's a variety of things you can do, but the most important thing is to be doing it consistently, monthly. All right, so let's say you've got number three done. That's the college savings. If you don't have kids, somebody can skip that step. And number four, investing through your employer, your work. So if you've got access to a 401k or a similar type of retirement vehicle, 403b, 457, tax sheltered annuity, any of those types of retirement plans, put money away. You've already done the other things I've talked about. Put away as much as you can. Now, at age 50 in the calendar year or tax year 2015, ready for this? You can put away up to $24,000 of your own money through payroll deduction. That's $2,000 a month. A lot of people aren't able to do that, but if you are able to do that before investing somewhere else. You say, well, wait a minute, what if there's a real good opportunity somewhere else? Yes, that's fine, but through work, it comes out of your paycheck, it comes out pre-tax, and if you're able to sock away $24,000 a year, starting at age 50 until you turn 65, I did the math, here it is, if you put away an extra $24,000 a year into your 401k, and let's say you earn 7% average. It's just an assumption. You can make more, you can make less. But let's say you average 7. You will accumulate an extra $634,000 by putting away that extra money. And I want you to do these five things before listening to other investment opportunities, because there's always somebody that has a great deal for you or an investment opportunity that you can't lose. You know, we hear about these things every day. But before you go and invest your money in something else, rental property, investing in some sort of small business, a car wash, I hear about these things all the time. Before doing that, invest in yourself and invest in your own financial security so you can have the confidence that you're on the right track for investing and for your retirement. Thank you, Andrew, for asking me for your question. And be sure to continue to read, listen, and plan stronger.
Have you considered an annuity as part of your retirement plan? Did you know that over the past several years, Americans put trillions of dollars into annuities? But despite their popularity, many people aren't sure about annuities. Why? Because annuities have been attacked for decades by financial folks who offer competing products or services. A lot of money is at stake, so some financial firms who only offer investments don't want you to consider an annuity. Get the facts. Find out about this valuable financial resource. Call Holland Financial today and get your free copy of Annuities as Part of Your Retirement Plan at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back. I am continuing my little series on reader questions. And these are questions I've received and I've written about in my columns. And I think they make for great conversation. And so here we go. I've got another one for you. And this one is from Sharon. And Sharon's question reads as follows. This is just a general type question for us baby boomers. Rule of thumb was always to decrease your stock holdings and increase your safer investments as you get closer to retirement. I'm not following this advice, and I believe it's foolish not to take advantage of today's market. I have two questions. Number one, do you think this advice no longer holds true? And number two, do you think this market is unusual, historically speaking? Excellent question. Very relevant. Not only today, Sharon, but all the time. Okay. And I think it's a funny and fun and very insightful question. And here's why. It's always good to question things like this. It's always good to question conventional wisdom and conventional thinking, and especially good to question rules of thumb. Rules of thumb are a place to start, not a place to finish. I'll always remind you of that. Here's the first thing I would say to Sharon's question. I think it is a good idea, number one, to keep some money invested in the stock market or somewhere else where it has the opportunity to grow. Now, of course, most everybody knows that the stock market does not offer really much in the way of guaranteed performance. I mean, you are taking risk. When we talk about growth in the market, we always hedge that or provide a little bit of a caveat, which is the opportunity for growth. So anytime anybody talks about opportunities for growth, that means that there are risks associated, meaning there might not be growth. In fact, there might be losses. In fact, if you want another rule of thumb, here's one for you. Whatever the stock market can give, it can take away. Whatever it can make, it can lose. So if you look at investing in a mutual fund, for example, and that mutual fund portfolio has earned 15% in the last 12 months, well, then that fund could lose an equal amount. So always bear that in mind, that if it's got a lot of potential for growth, then the odds are it's got a lot of potential for loss. But generally speaking, I think it's smart to stay invested in the market long term. Now, the rule of thumb that Sharon was referring to with this question was the concept of becoming more conservative as you get closer to retirement. And the reason why that is conventional wisdom, if you stop and think about it, you don't want, there's a couple things going on. Number one, you don't want to draw your retirement income from something that is vacillating in value. If something is fluctuating, let's just use a simple dollar. If something is fluctuating between a dollar to $1.20 and then to 80 cents, or you can use $120, $100, and $80. When you look at that, that's something that is risky to draw from, because when you go to take the money out, it's very possible that your $100 is only worth $80. And in order to get the money you need to get out of it, you may have to take more than you otherwise would. So that is a risk that is very different from when you're putting money away. When you're putting money away, these ups and downs, the downs especially, even they don't feel good at the time, they actually work to your advantage. If you're buying mutual funds and the overall market drops 30% and stays down for a 2 or 3 year period, while you may be concerned about the overall economy or you may have concerns about the value of your overall account, the fact that everything is 30% off is good for you as you're putting money away and you're buying at a 30% discount. Now, that value or that benefit goes away very quickly when you're retired and you're drawing money from your investments. You don't want to be drawing at a 30% discount. You don't want to have to sell on sale. You want to buy on sale. So one of the things that people look at doing, and this is where the conventional wisdom comes in, is migrating and pushing money over to something more secure. Draw from that money for your income, and then keep other money, a portion of your retirement funds, invested in the investments that are going up and down, the things that are more risky, that are vacillating in value, that volatility that we hear so much about in the news and on television. Volatility is fine as long as it's not something that you're drawing from for income. that's when it becomes a dangerous game. Now, there are a lot of rules of thumb out there about how much should be at risk versus how much should be more secure. There's a rule of 100 where you take 100, subtract your age, and that tells you how much of your money should be at risk. So if you are 65, 35% of your money would be appropriately earmarked for growth and 65% not at risk. So that's one way to look at it. There are other things that you have to consider for your individual circumstance to take this rule. Again, it's a place to start, not a place to finish. Take this rule and adjust it to your circumstances. For example, if you have large pensions, if you have other sources of income like rental income, you might be able to take this rule and instead of having 65% protected or more secure, you might be able to make it 50%. In other words, you might be able to have 15% more at risk than somebody else that doesn't have those other sources of income. You always have to consider the specifics of your situation. Now, to the question or the second part of the question of, are things different now? Yes and no. Whenever you are listening to this program, because we archive them and you hear them, my statements today are going to be equally applicable when you hear me talking. Ready? It's always different, but it's always the same. In other words, there will be market drops. There will be market corrections. There will be bear markets. There will be bull markets. There will be a repeat. But when it comes, whatever it is, if it's a bull market, it might be brought on from a very different type of scenario or economic environment that's created that bull market than has happened in the past. Same with a bear market or a continued period of declining market values or even a sideways period for the market. We could have a period where the market goes sideways and doesn't grow or fall and stays within a narrow range of market value for 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 years. Who knows? It's going to be different. But if we look at this historically, we've had periods that are like all of those scenarios I just described. So the thing that causes it, or the catalyst, if you will be different. If oil falls to $10 a barrel, do you think that will have a strong economic benefit to the United States? Yes. Will it hurt oil producers? Yes. What if oil goes to $150 a barrel like it did back at the beginning of the Great Recession, 2008? Will that affect the economy? Yes. Will that hurt oil producers? No, they'd like that. That'd be good for them. The catalyst for change, the catalyst for what affects our economy and causes our markets to behave in different ways, they come in a variety of packages and are brought on by different circumstances. But the result is often similar to what we have. So to say it is different this time is probably not going to bear out. And we have seen people make mistakes over the years in thinking that it will be different this time. Bull markets nor bear markets go on forever. And so your best strategy is to take this approach and embrace this question. Some money should be in the market, yes, but a good chunk should not be when you're ready to start drawing money for your income. And that will help you to plan stronger for your financial future.
Are you looking for convenient, straightforward financial information? Just say no to superficial sales presentations and yes to the free Real Money app. Get David Holland's new app for your smartphone or tablet. Just search Real Money with David Holland at your mobile device's store. You'll be able to access 17 educational TV shows, plus hundreds of radio shows and financial columns, all in the palm of your hand and on your schedule. So very easy and so very important to you. Again, to download the free app, search Real Money with David Holland.
I've got another reader question for you. This one comes from Larry. It's similar to one I've covered not long ago, but I think it's really a nice twist and changing of the question. So I want to do this one for you. Reader question from Larry. I am familiar with the investment strategy called dollar cost averaging, and I benefited from this strategy while saving for my retirement years. Now that I'm retired, I am aware that I am taking the same dollar amount each month out of a stock-based mutual fund and that works against me. I've never seen an explicit strategy to avoid this problem that you call dollar cost ravaging. I turned 70 and a half and I need to take required minimum distributions, RMDs. Some of the IRA money is in CDs and some's in stock. What do you suggest? Great question, Larry. I love this question. And let me do this. I've written about this. I've talked about it on previous radio programs, but I want to take your question, Larry, and I'm going to add some additional specific pieces to it. Your question didn't include this, but if I add a little bit to it, I think it'll make for a great example. First of all, I applaud that you know that you run the risk of drawing against your portfolio when it's potentially down in value. And again, just to review, dollar cost averaging is what is an investment strategy. It's really a byproduct of systematically putting money away at a set interval. Typically, people think about it on a monthly basis into an investment account or through your payroll deduction at work into your 401k or other similar type of retirement plan. So this dollar cost averaging is putting the money in each month. And I'll just use a simple example. Let's say you're putting in $100 every paycheck. You get paid twice a month. $200 goes in each month. As you do that, the stock market, of course, does what the stock market does. You're putting your money into mutual funds that are invested in the stock market, and you've taken a primarily an equity-based or stock-based approach, common stock to be exact, and you're buying those common stocks through mutual funds available in the employer's retirement plan. Okay, so as you do that, your $200 goes in automatically and buys shares of the mutual fund at the current market price. So if the stock market is going up, each month the value of the prevailing stock market indices is going up, then you're buying at a price that is increasing. So your $200 each month is buying fewer shares. You're still spending the same amount of money each month, but each month you're buying less shares. Now, let's say that the stock market goes down and we go through a period of, say, 6 months or a year, and the market is going down in value. Now your $200 is buying more shares. You're buying them at a discount or buying them on sale. And this is an ebb and flow, up and down process that goes on for many people. And this is what Larry's talking about in his question, that he's benefited from this strategy called dollar cost averaging. And a lot of people do this automatically. In fact, a lot of people that do it, the millions of American workers that have access to a 401k, are actually doing this without even realizing that this is what it's called. And that's fine. I'm just glad that they're doing it. So as you have saved for retirement, like Larry has in his question, you get to retirement. Now you've got to reverse the process. In other words, now it's time to take this retirement value, this account that you've accumulated, your 401k or whatever it is, and start drawing money from it to provide the income that you'll need in retirement when you no longer have a paycheck. So your 401k, and you can roll that into an IRA, just like you can with some of the other retirement accounts, roll that into an IRA, and now you're drawing from that IRA, and it is providing the paychecks, along with whatever other money you've accumulated in the form of property or cash or other investments outside of your 401k. But just for simple conversation and example, let's just assume that you've got the 401k as your primary investment. Okay, to add a little color or flavor to this example, to Larry's question, let's make it a $300,000 401k. And let's say that Larry is 70 and a half, and he's got to draw out those RMDs. Back to his question of how to avoid this concept of putting it in reverse that I call dollar cost ravaging, because if you're not careful, if the market drops significantly or stays low or goes lower for a sustained period of time, the process of drawing out the same amount of money every month could ravage the portfolio. So in other words, if you put away $200 a month during your working years, and in retirement, you've built up enough that you're going to draw $500 a month, and if you draw that $500 a month out every month, even when the market's down, drawing it out while the market's down will cause your portfolio to be ravaged. That's why I call it dollar cost ravaging. Okay, so let's say you've got $300,000 in your 401k. The required minimum distribution is a little over $10,000 at age 70 and a half. It's about 3.5% that first year. Each year, your required minimum distribution percentage goes up. Now, why is that? That's the subject of a whole other show, but to put it succinctly, the IRS rules are for you to have to take more and more out of your IRA or 401k, these pre-tax, never taxed dollars, take that money out during your lifetime so it can be taxed. That's the whole point. It's not to help you with funding your retirement. You could choose to take what you wanted if there weren't required distributions and take care of your own income needs, but they're forcing your hand to draw this out during your retirement. Okay, so let's say your required distribution is $10,000 and you've got a $300,000 401k or IRA. To avoid dollar cost ravaging, to avoid drawing money out of something potentially that goes down in value, the solution is pretty simple. You take part of that $300,000 and move it into something secure, something that is not going to fluctuate in value. Well, it could fluctuate up, that'd be okay, but not fluctuate down. So let's say in this example, we took 200 of the 300 and made sure that was in CDs, money market, fixed annuity, index annuity, something like that, that is secure. Something whose value doesn't go down by virtue of the market losing value. If you do that and then draw your RMD, the required minimum distribution of $10,000 or whatever it is in the future, and at some point it might be $15,000 or more that you're required to take out, if you draw it from that side of your investment balance sheet, you're not subjecting yourself to this risk of dollar cost ravaging. The portion of your money, the other 100 that you maintain in the stock market through mutual funds or however you're doing it, that portion can fluctuate, but it's not going to cause you to experience that loss by withdrawing. You still may have losses on your account, but they're not losses that are permanent, where you have taken the money out and that's it. So if that 100,000, for example, goes from 100 to 80 because the overall stock market drops 20%, well, your other 200 that's not in the stock market doesn't go down except for your withdrawals, to the extent those withdrawals exceed what you're making on the money. Now, that 80,000 value of your stock-based portion, if the market goes down another 10,000 to 70, okay, you're still have those investments. Then if the market recovers back up to 100, you're not having to recover money taken out at a lower value. So in other words, these normal market cycles that can produce, not guaranteed to produce, but can produce long-term growth, you can play into that and take advantage of that without subjecting yourself to dollar cost ravaging, which is a real killer for a retirement portfolio. So to continue to plan stronger for your financial future, embrace the concept of splitting your money up to avoid dollar cost ravaging.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.